Welcome to the program In Persona Christi. Please join Bishop Fabian Bruskowitz of the Diocese of Lincoln, Nebraska, as he discusses the life and spirituality of a priest. Now, here is Bishop Fabian Bruskowitz.
Let us pray in the words of St. John Fisher. O Lord, according to your promise that the gospel should be preached throughout the whole world, raise up men fit for such work. The apostles were but soft and yielding clay until they were baked hard by the fire of the Holy Spirit. So, good Lord, do now in like manner again with thy church militant. Change and make the soft and slippery earth into hard stones. Set in thy church strong and mighty pillars that may suffer and endure great labors, such as watching, poverty, thirst, hunger, cold, and heat. And who shall not fear the threatening of princes, persecution, neither death, but always persuade and think with themselves to suffer with a good will, slander, shame, and all kinds of torments, for the glory and laud of thy holy name. By this manner, good Lord, the truth of thy gospel shall be preached throughout the world. Therefore, merciful Lord, exercise thy ministry, show it indeed upon thy church. Amen. Hello, I'm Bishop Fabian Bruskowitz, and I've been asked to give a series of conferences to be a sort of a part of a priest's retreat. Those who might be making this retreat, of course, should remember that a retreat master is not really a human instrument, but rather the Holy Spirit, God Himself, who facilitates His work sometimes through the use of a human being. A retreat also is far more than conferences. Every retreat must also include periods of prayer and silence. Prayer so that we can lift our minds and hearts to God and speak to Him. Silence so that He might speak to us. The conferences then would only be a portion of a retreat, the retreat being far more than just these words. I think it's important also to keep in mind that lay people can and should be invited if they wish to listen to these conferences. Not only because they might be beneficial spiritually for them, but also because lay people are involved in the wholeness of the church. In the old exhortation before ordination, the bishop would always say, all the passengers on a ship must be concerned about the safety of the vessel, and not just the officers. And so the priesthood is of deep and profound interest to all. As the leitmotif of our conferences, I would choose questions from the New Testament. And we'll begin by making the predominant question for each of the conferences one which was asked by our Lord. It's recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 18, verse 8. Jesus asked, "When the Son of Man comes again, will He find any faith on the earth?" It was a rhetorical question that our Lord left unanswered. And I believe He left it unanswered because He expected us to answer it. All of us, but especially those whom He calls to share in a most particular and special way in His priesthood, His ministerial priests, those who participate in His kingship and shepherding, those who participate in His prophesying and teaching, those who participate in His great work of sanctifying. As one of the very important aspects of our retreat, let us take also the notion of the dignity and the solemn importance of the priesthood. We must recall that this dignity, which is unsurpassed, is also totally and completely undeserved. Some of the fathers of the church have said, a priest is nihil et omnia, nothing and everything. And how true this is. He is, in the words of St. Paul, a vessel of clay, a fragile vessel, which contains an inexpressible treasure. St. Francis of Assisi, in his first rule, is supposed to have written, "My brothers, if you encounter a priest and an angel as you walk along the street, you must always greet the priest first. Because while the angel has the higher nature, the priest has the higher dignity." To share in the priesthood of Christ is so magnificent and so splendid, it goes truly beyond all our power to exaggerate. The priest it is who stands and represents in a very real way the person of Christ himself. Our Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, reiterating what has been said so often by the fathers of the Church, "Sacerdos alter Christus," a priest is another Christ, has told us very clearly and very explicitly that standing in the person of Christ, a priest makes Christ truly and really present among his people. The Second Vatican Council, in its constitution on the liturgy, was quite clear about the various ways in which Christ is made present. He is, the Council says, present in the very gathering of his people. The liturgical assembly makes Christ really there. "Where two or three are gathered in my name," he said, "there I am in their midst." Christ is present true in his holy word, proclaimed in that liturgical assembly. In a most special way, the gospel. We stand up and salute the gospel, saying, "Glory to you, Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ." The gospel book is reverently kissed and incensed and surrounded by lights because it is a presence of Christ. Christ is present also and substantially and in the most real and important way, of course, in the Holy Eucharist. His dying, his rising, and his continued and abiding remaining with his people is there in that Eucharistic presence. But Christ is also present, the Second Vatican Council says, in the person of the priest. That the priest makes Christ present despite his own sinfulness, his creatureliness, despite his own limitations, his finitude, is an extraordinary and exceptional fact of our faith. It also is something that makes us wonder at how God can give his gifts wrapped in such frail and such sinful packages. When the priest makes Christ present, he makes Christ present, of course, in his preaching, but he makes Christ present in that particular kind of proclamation, which is the holy sacrifice itself. For he alone confects the Eucharist in the presence of the heavenly court, the liturgical assembly being so much more than just the people who might or might not be present while Mass is being offered and participating in that offering. Because every Mass, even the most private Mass, is done in the presence of the heavenly court of God himself. The priest is given a great and solemn commission, consecrated, says the Second Vatican Council, by his ordination to carry on the work of Christ, to be, in a very real and special way, Christ in the world. It's easy to forget the importance of the priesthood when we only look at the outside, when we only look at the human frailty, when we look at the defects, the flaws, when we look at the mistakes and the human foibles that so often mar the vision of the priest, that reality which is deep and beneath. God, speaking to Jeremiah, was, of course, talking to someone who was destined to be a prophet, but in a deeper and profound sensus plenior, he was talking to every priest. He said, "To whomever I send you, you shall go. Whatever I command you, you shall speak. And have no fear of them, because I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." The dignity of the priesthood is, St. Justin the Martyr claims, the apex of all human dignities. St. Alphonsus Liguori said the entire Church cannot give to God as much honor nor obtain so many graces as one priest by saying one Mass. St. Ephrem the Syrian said the priesthood is an astounding miracle, great, immense, and infinite. We know, of course, that the great part of the New Testament that pertains to the priesthood more than any other is the Epistle to the Hebrews. It is in this Epistle to the Hebrews that we hear the words addressed to Jesus, but also addressed to those who share in a special way through holy orders in his priesthood. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. No man takes this honor to himself, but only one who is called by God, as Aaron was. It's important that we remember how Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, through the writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews, tells us that this sacred participation in the priesthood of Christ is something that is so utterly sublime, it goes beyond the capacity of human words to exaggerate. We must also remember, of course, that being a priest means conveying something that is our own personal experience. And that's why coming near to the fire of the Holy Spirit in a retreat, it's a time to rekindle, as priests, our own deep and profound love, estimation, esteem for our holy vocation. St. John in his first epistle said, what we must do as priests, to proclaim to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked upon, what our hands have touched, the word of life that was present to the Father and became visible to us. No one can give what he does not have. There is a famous story of a Capuchin lay brother working in a field, and an inebriated man coming by and demanding from him a blessing. The Capuchin lay brother tried to explain to the man that he was not a priest and would not be able to give him a priestly blessing. But the inebriated man insisted. So the Capuchin lay brother waved his hand over the man's head and said in Latin, Nemo dat quod non habet, no one can give what he does not have. Of course, the man walked away contented, supposing that he had been blessed. But we know that the Latin words meant something altogether different than his supposition. In a real sense, however, priests must be able to have what they give. Certainly, their priestly power does not depend upon their own personal holiness, but the effectiveness of their power will indeed depend upon this holiness. Many times, priests, instead of being the untrammeled channels of God's grace, can be, to some extent, an impeded channel of God's grace. They are not humble, recognizing their sinfulness, their need of pardon and forgiveness, recognizing the need to be aglow with the love of Christ, afire with the Holy Spirit. Priests have immense responsibilities, and these responsibilities derive from the very nature of what and who they are. Cardinal Suhard said, a priest perplexes people. Mingling with men, he resembles them in everything, yet there is something in him which escapes them. Although he is near them, he nevertheless remains inaccessible. Although completely open with them, he always remains mysterious. Seemingly, he is understandable, and yet all definitions fail when applied to him. He is adaptable, yet ever remains himself in a changing age. He mingles with his fellow men, yet is immalleable. He is a strange man, and yet not a stranger. This is the reason why the priest in relation to society must always be somehow or another its adversary. He will never be forgiven for recalling and perpetuating from generation to generation him whom they thought they had suppressed forever. Far from being merely a fatherly advisor or a good-natured citizen, a priest like God is an awesome being, a fighting man. Like St. Michael, he challenges the dragon, dragging him out of ambush by healing men's hearts. We know that the prophet Isaiah was, of course, quite strong in saying what the mission of a prophet is, and in that what a mission of a priest is. He said, you must be a pillar of iron, a wall of brass against the whole land, against Judah's kingdoms. You must be this strong and brave and courageous champion of the things of God in the face of a humanity which is very much opposed because of original sin and its own sins to everything that God is and stands for. A priest has indeed an awesome dignity. He is able to hold in his hands a small piece of bread and then to say four words and hold in his hands the one whom the entire universe cannot contain. A priest is able to lift his hands and heal the leprous sores, the scabs, the evil, the maggots of sin clinging to humanity as a sinner comes with repentance and contrition to receive the mercy, the pardon, the understanding, and the forgiveness of the loving Christ. A priest is able, even when his own mouth is polluted by his own sins, to proclaim the undiluted and unmutilated Word of God in all its beauty, in all its integrity, in all its magnificence. Father George Cain said the Catholic priesthood is fraught with mystery, and the priest is rightly regarded as a man of mystery. He is the common father of the whole world, solicitous not for himself, but for others. In the Epistle to the Hebrews, we read, "Every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in the things pertaining to God, that he might offer to God gifts and sacrifices for sin." The Baroness de Huyck, Catherine Doherty, said, "You, as a priest, are destined to be a saint maker. And this is what you must be," in her words, "a lover of God and a lover of men, a holy man because you walk always before the face of the All-Holy, understanding all things, forgiving all things, encompassing all things. Your heart must be like Christ's, pierced with the lance of love. The heart of a priest must be open like Christ, so the whole world can walk through. The heart of a priest must be a vessel of compassion, a chalice of love, a trysting place where human and divine love can meet each other. A priest must have as his goal to be a man who is another Christ, who lives to serve, who, like Christ, is willingly crucified and lifted up to draw all things to him. He must be in love with God and always represent himself for what he is, a gift of God to man, and a gift of the human race back to God. A priest must be a symbol of the Word made flesh, the naked sword of God's justice, the hand of God's mercy, and the reflection of his love." Cardinal Vaughan said it would be vain to search through human or divine history from the beginning of the world until now to find anything comparable to the priesthood. For the regeneration and elevation of mankind to a higher state is what it is about. Sounds more like a fable than a fact that God should come down to earth and associate with himself men in the exercise of the most astonishing and unheard of powers. It is said time and again that when a priest says at each Mass, "This is my body," there are no words to compare to that except those words of God at the beginning of creation, "Let there be light." Astonishing and miraculous, marvelous, the vocation, the dignity of the priesthood. It deserves our understanding. It deserves our most profound effort at trying to fathom, at least in a little way, the greatness and the depth of this splendid and magnificent mystery. Cardinal Newman said, "It seems to us that angels alone should be appointed to this high office of priest. And yet, God sent forth for the ministry of reconciliation not angels but men. He has sent not beings of some unknown nature and some strange blood, but our own flesh and our blood. He appointed sons of Adam, men like us, who are like us, exposed to temptations, exposed to the possibility of sin." Cardinal Suhard said, "We must never forget that priests are and remain men. God does not perform a miracle to wrest them from the human state. The priesthood itself does not give a person power to do everything or to excel in everything. It's important to remember this, lest you fall into a very old error, that of dehumanizing the priesthood, and consequently of setting a priest outside of ordinary life. This does great harm, for by thus isolating him as unbelievers do to the exclusive realm of ceremonies, he's deprived of a good part of his reason for being. If men refuse to pass through him, then he no longer can be, as he must, as another Christ, a mediator between God and man. A priest is profoundly human, the most human of all men, said Father Define. The man who by his function knows the meaning of man, because he knows what is in man, even before man reveals it to him, since he is the man who knows the meaning of moral life and the meaning of sin. The meaning of light and peace destroyed by sin. He is the man who opens the sources of happiness and the avenues to the kingdom of the Beatitudes, not by his own power, but by the power which has been conferred on him. A priest, indeed, is omnia, but also nihil. No man takes this honor to himself, but only he who is called by God as Aaron was. They only, says the Council of Trent, can be lawful ministers of the church who are called by the bishops of the church. Jesus said, it's recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. Father Lord said, there is no life in the world like that of a priest, but we must remember no one deserves it. A lucky, lucky few are prayed into the priesthood, inspired into it, or drawn into it by the miracle of God's great condescension. The priesthood, said Fulton Sheen, is a vocation, a summons, a call. None of us, no human being, deserves this call. And God does not always choose the best, the holiest, the wisest. In a sense, God's love is blind. He does not seem to notice our unworthiness. This is why we must always rely on his grace and on his love. The priesthood, then, is a state, a condition, a vocation, a sublimity that defies exaggeration. Requires of all of us, I think, a constant regeneration of our desire to conform to this special gift of God, to reach up under his grace, to take what he has passed to us, and then to do what he wants to do in the way he wants us to do it. The priest has the prime and sublime duty to proclaim God's word, to speak with the eloquence of his words, but even more with the eloquence of his life. And this is the only way in which a priest can first understand his unworthiness. Name something, said Saint Paul, that you have not received, and if you have received it, why do you boast? At the same time, it is the way in which a priest can answer the great rhetorical question of Jesus, that question that is the leitmotif of our conferences. When the Son of Man comes again, will he find any faith on the earth? With our life as priests, we must give an answer. And those lay people who support and pray for and love the priesthood, despite the faults, the failings, and the shortcomings that might touch so many priests, must join us in giving an answer to this marvelous and splendid and echoing question of Jesus. When the Son of Man comes again, will he find any faith on the earth? The answer wasn't given by our Lord. Our Lord, under his grace, wants us to give him that answer.
You have been listening to In Persona Christi, a retreat with Bishop Fabian Bruskowitz. Join us next week at the same time as Bishop Bruskowitz continues his discussion on the life and spirituality of a priest.